Amen. Thank you, Skylar. Can everybody hear me okay? So I don't know if David Self told you, but he gave me 90 minutes to share today. So I hope you have some. I'm just kidding. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to come and share. Skylar did a great job of creating the trailer for this moment, and I'm excited to be here to share with you what God has done through my life and through his word and the journey that he has me on and that he has you on. You know, my question to you is, will you follow God? The whole goal of our faith is obedience. And the more that we're obedient, the more that we obey him, the more that we will be used by him. I know that y'all are coming off a 5-week series of how to overcome discouragement. And I know David probably did a tremendous job of giving you some principles and some action points to be reminded of how do you overcome discouragement. Pastor Tony Evans in Dallas says that you're either in a storm, you're going into a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And I could guarantee you there are people in here who are probably in a storm or who have just gotten out of a storm. I know that Sandy Bell served here for over 20 years, and I just want to let you know that she passed away. Her celebration of life is actually today, and so I just wanted to throw that out there. I know that she served at High Point for many years, so you know, as you think about her, her family, you know, I know they would covet and they would love your prayers. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that there is a path before every man that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. That was the path I was on for 14 years. I grew up in Sugar Land. Well, before that, let me introduce myself. Kevin Spivey, Minister of Assimilation. I'm married to a beautiful woman named Marlon. We've been married 6 years. We have a daughter, Grace. She's 3. And we have a son. There's my wife right there. My daughter's 3, and then my son's 4 months. So, you know, if you have kids and infant stage, you know you're full on. And so, you know, so blessed to be a dad and a husband. And she actually helped me last night. It was up till midnight just wrestling. What do I really feel like God wants to share? Growing up in Sugar Land, southwest side of Houston, mom, dad, mom, nurse, dad, car sales. I'm the youngest, got an older brother, older sister. Was raised in a different denomination. I never did deny God existed. I just saw God as the God behind the clouds. So I'd go to church 1 hour a week. Never really wanted to be there. So there was really no transformation. Fast forward, age 14, started getting introduced to drugs. Growing up, I was home alone a lot. So nobody that's 14 wants to be at home. So I went to the streets. Fortunately, got introduced to marijuana. And what seemed right to me was actually leading me down a path of death. For the next 14 years, I was immersed in that lifestyle. I know people are like, man, you have an awesome testimony. Yeah, it's awesome now. Amen. It was a nightmare for me because I was enslaved to it. So all the way from 14 to 26, I have been in jails and institutions. Been to multiple rehabs, been incarcerated multiple times. Even in the midst of that, I knew I was living wrong. I knew right from wrong. I knew, don't do this, don't do that, right? But I didn't have the truth in me. I didn't have God's word in me. I didn't have a relationship with him. So these things that the world produced just ensnared me. I was stuck in that mindset. Looking back, they're like, Kevin, why did you do what you do? And the only conclusion I can come up with is I was trying to find me. Who is Kevin? I was looking for love in all the wrong places, right? I feel that God has implanted in every single person a desire to be in community. Look at gang members, they're in community. You look at people who are homeless, there's homeless populations off I-10 and Silver. There's a whole tent community. And God has put inside of us this desire to want to connect with people. Unfortunately, I did it in all the wrong areas. Not that the people who are hanging with were bad, they were just in the same circumstance. Who am I? And so for the longest time, I was in this cycle. In and out of rehab, I'll fast forward, October 2009, I'm 26. My mom says, Kevin, do you want help? I mean, at this point, I know I'm broken. There are moments when I was in jail, I would read the Bible and I'd be like, amen, hallelujah, I found it. And then I get right out, would not get plugged in, would not be in a community, would not read my Bible, and I go right back to the vomit. All those good intentions of wanting to be a spiritual person went right out the window. The world ate it up. And so this cycle would happen. I would be like, oh man, yes, Lord, I understand. And I get out and I wouldn't get plugged in. I wouldn't be in community. I wouldn't share how I was feeling. And I would just go right back to the vomit, as Proverbs says. And so this was a cycle that happened over and over. And finally, my mom said in 2009, Kevin, will you get help? And she said, there's this place called Open Door Mission. It's a faith-based organization. It's a rehabilitation center for men right by Minute Maid Park in Second Ward. It's a nine-month treatment. And I'm like, 9 months? That's like a jail sentence. My thought process is I'm going to go in this place and I'm going to sit and I'm going to do 9 months. I'm just going to do what they tell me. And I remember getting checked in and God just like turned on the light switch. You know, my family didn't want nothing to do with me. My friends didn't want nothing to do with me. I don't know who I am anymore. And I'm in another place surrounded by men, and I just keep hearing about God. God, God. The way that they would set up the time at this facility is you go to Bible study during the day, you go to chapel at night. So I kept getting the word. I mean, I was hungry. I'm like, I know this. Lord, how do I live it? How do I live it? And I remember October 22nd, 2009, they had a chapel service and they had an invitation. Is anybody willing to give their life to Christ? Come. Come. At this point, I knew. I was like, I'm broken, Lord. It's either you or nothing. I walked up forward. I said, God, if you're real, show me. If you're real, show me. I was not being sarcastic. I was not being facetious. If you do not show me, you will. I will die. It's just a matter of time before I either OD or I go to prison for a long time. The path that seems right, but it ends in death. Do you know the difference between what seems right and what is right? There's only two paths, the Bible says. Deuteronomy says, today I put before you life and death. Choose life. You know, as we journey to Easter in 3 weeks, it always reminds me of this theme that God brings life out of death. And I keep thinking about, where does life and death meet? At the cross. I don't know your story. Don't know where you're at spiritually. There's only two kingdoms, God and Satan's. And if you don't think there's an agenda, just turn on the TV. So I've been in this whole journey. So October 22nd, 2009, I gave my life to Christ. I just started reading the Bible. So one of the questions I want to answer is, how do you stay on the path that leads to life? How do you stay on the path that leads to life when you lose a child? How do you stay on the path that leads to life when bad things happen to good people? How do you stay on the path that leads to life when your loved one gets cancer? When you walk in and you lose a job. You're either going in a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. How do you stay on the path that leads to life despite all of that? My daughter, in 2016, well, 2015, my wife and I decided that we were ready, at least in our heads, to be parents. I'm 36, so I was maybe 33 at the time when we felt like, okay, we're, you know, ready to begin. And we got pregnant the first time. Fast forward, at our 12-week ultrasound, the heart stopped. We had a miscarriage. And so then everything, of course, comes into question. What do I believe about God? Do I still think he's good? What is the Bible? Do I believe it's true? Do I believe God brings life out of death? All of these things happen. My wife gets a DNC. 2 months later, we get pregnant. Yes. So now every time I go on the ultrasound, there's just fear. I'm like, oh my gosh. Every time I walk in, am I going to hear a heartbeat? We make it to the 20-week, I'm like, woo, we're clear. We're good. The tech comes. She does the anatomy scan. She keeps circling something. My wife's like, something's up. I'm like, no, nothing's up. Doctor comes in and says, your daughter has a hole in your diaphragm, her stomach, her intestines, and her liver is inside her chest. She has congenital diaphragmatic hernia. You need to go downtown. Boom, another bomb. How do I stay on the path that leads to life? When everything that you think you know becomes questionable. It's easy to believe in God and say, oh, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, but what happens when that unexpected thing happens? Do you still think God is good? So these are the things that started going through my mind. Of course, me, I'm like prayer. I'm getting everybody to pray. So everybody who's at First Baptist in the Loop, I'm on staff. I'm sending out emails. I'm sending out emails to missionaries around the world. I'm telling, we created a Facebook page. I'm like, I just need people praying. You know, we go from a miscarriage. Now we go downtown to Children's Herman, and they're like, your daughter has 50% chance to live. That was at 20 weeks. We delivered at 39. So those 19 weeks, every morning I'd wake up and say, is my daughter going to live? I'm like, man, God, I know you're a healer. I see you in your word. I see the cross. I know what Jesus did. I know it here, but here it's just like sometimes it's like hard to connect it. And I don't know if you just go to church all your life and you just come in every Sunday and you're just sitting in the pews and there's really not a connecting. You really haven't really just given him all of who you are for either X, Y, or Z. And so I'm a believer, and even I'm like, man, God, like, are you punishing me? All these things start to come into my mind. Everything I think I know about God is questionable now. It's like, go back to the drawing page. Okay, who is God? Do I believe his word is inspired? Do I believe there's no error? Do I believe his promises are true? And yes, they are. But it was a journey, right? I know this is another Wednesday, but I pray that this wouldn't just be another time where we just hear, but really ask these questions as we're journeying to the cross in a couple of weeks. Where are we at with the Lord? What path are we on? Do we know what path we're on? You know, for me, I never questioned these things growing up. I knew God existed. I didn't realize he had a plan for me. My whole life, I did what I wanted to do, however I wanted to do it, whenever I wanted to do it, and you couldn't tell me how to do it. And so backtracking, I come to First Baptist. I get picked up in a van by First Baptist because this program, they want you to be a part of a church. I come to Houston's First Baptist Church on a van from a drug rehab, and I'm just hungry. I'm like, God, I'll do whatever. I'm just jumping in. Get involved in a Bible study. Long story short, I go on a mission trip while I'm in the program to Costa Rica with First Baptist. Pastor Greg and Pastor William Taylor, the missions pastor, were on this trip. And I asked God, I said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I did everything my way. And it dawned on me, I never asked him, what do you want me to do? And he said, Kevin, your ways have landed you in jails, institutions, you're going to die. Follow me. That's it. He didn't show me all of this. He didn't show me my 10 steps to the path of life. He said, follow me. Follow me. What does it look like for you to follow God? Is he the Lord of your life? Can you truly say that you know where you're going to go if you die today? Go old school. Do you know where you're going to go? Do you believe it? So how do you stay on the path that leads to life in a world that's constantly changing, in a world that we can't control? I just want to give you two truths for you to remember that will help you to persevere down this path that leads to life. The number one thing is knowing God's word. And I said knowing. I didn't say no, right? I get it all the time. Oh, Kevin, I read the Bible before. Amen. Do you remember how to divide fractions? Because growing up, if you told me right now how to divide and multiply fractions, I probably could not tell you because I don't need to use that. Or do you remember everything the Bible says? I guarantee you we all have spiritual amnesia where we forget what God has said. And I'm a firm believer that's why we have his word written, that we're in it daily. And so once I gave my life to Christ at the Open Door Mission, I got a Bible and I said, okay, God, if this is your word, I'm going to read it. I just started in the New Testament. I would read it. I'm like, underline things. Didn't know what I was reading. I'm like, man, if this is your word, I just need to read it. And what happened to me was he began to change me. He began to change the way I think. He began to change the way I perceive life, how I process to understand what seems right from what is right. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You will never know the path of life if you're never in his word. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so I just started reading it. Mark talks about, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out of a man." So when I accepted Christ in my life, the scripture says I'm a new creation. But what do you do when you do drugs for 14 years? You think just because I'm a Christian, all those bad habits go right? I'm just, boom, I'm a butterfly now. I'm just out of the cocoon and flying. No, in fact, the Bible says I'm a baby, right? If anybody had a kid, what happens if you don't feed that baby? The baby's not going to eat. I was just hungry. I needed to be fed. So I just started reading the word, and God began to grow me. He began to put in me. He said, "Kevin, yeah, you should probably stop doing this. You should probably stop drinking alcohol. You should probably stop smoking cigarettes. You should probably stop listening to this music. You should probably," not that he's trying to tell me what to do, but he knows I am for life. John 10:10 says, "I have come to give life and life in the full." I didn't know what that meant. And so it's been this whole journey of discovering what life is about. And I cannot tell you, like, I feel like, literally, like, that Kevin is dead. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Literally, new life. New life. Some people say the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Has anybody ever heard that before? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Do you know what God is calling you to do? We're not just here just trying to figure it out as if he's just like, "Okay, guys, I created you. Now you just do your own thing and pray to me when everything's bad." Because when everything's good, it seems like we don't really need him. But God has a purpose. God has a plan. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do for the glory of God." That is your purpose. That is my purpose, to bring God glory. Second point to remember is knowing God's character and nature. So when I went through that with my daughter, and as you can see, she's healed. She had two surgeries. You would never even known that happened. And what God did, I could tell you so many stories of how God showed up through people. Don't have time for that. But I will tell you, it's easy when you're in a situation like that to project your circumstance on God and to recreate God through your pain and through your suffering versus allowing who God is to reshape your circumstance. Because I'm a believer, been a believer for a while, feel like I was pretty strong in my faith, very active, and that shook me. I'm like, "Ooh, man, Lord, are you punishing me?" All these, I was afraid to pray for healing because what happens if my daughter dies? And then God said, "Kevin, who am I? Who do you think I am?" And so knowing his character and nature changed the way I, whenever I pray, whatever answer I think should happen, I know that if it doesn't come out the way I think, I remember who he is and I know his way is pure, even though I may not understand it. So what is the character of God? I have six points there with the scriptures that hopefully, if you don't know who God is and his character, these are going to be filters for you as you do life. Because I guarantee you, if you're not in a storm, it's coming. And what are you going to do when it happens? The question's always the same when you're in a storm. Can I trust God? If we boil it down and we're in a situation or a circumstance that we're out of control, the first thing that gets attacked is, can you trust God? So for me, I had to replay this and reteach myself in the midst of, man, my daughter could die. I just had a miscarriage. What is going on? Scripture says that he's merciful. He's loving. God so loved the world. I mean, think about it. God loved you so much that he took on our sin. Your sin is so wicked, it had to take God to come to earth. That's how bad sin is. That's how bad sin is. Only God could atone for it. He's just, forgiving, faithful, compassionate. I think it's easy to become familiar with God. If you have a house and you put a painting on a wall, you'll notice the painting for 2 weeks, then the painting becomes the wall, right? Same thing going to church. It's easy to go to church on Sunday. It's easy to even read the Bible every day. Then it just becomes familiar. Oh, I pray every day. I have my routine. I turn on my coffee. I have the coffee set. Everything is good in order. It's kind of like you just go, it's easy to go through the motions. Understanding his character and his nature will help you be able to discern the opposition that we may face when we follow God on the path of life. What's his nature? And this is crucial. He is without sin. No evil in him. He's self-existent, and God is love. You hear it all the time. Maybe you've asked that question before. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? With that question, how does that question change when you look at his character and his nature? How does that change your view of God? I would have never known that character and nature part had I not gone through that with my daughter. You could have told me every day, and it really probably wouldn't have sunk until I actually went through it. And God brought me out of that. And it's enabled me to walk through life, trusting in him, even though I may not understand everything. From that, God has positioned me to bring my misery and use it for ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all affliction, with that same comfort we receive from him, we're able to comfort those in any affliction. How can I comfort somebody when I did drugs for 13 years? It's because he stepped in and changed everything. I know in church we have a tendency to elevate testimonies like mine and celebrate them. And you're like, man, I grew up in a Christian home. I didn't do drugs. I didn't go to prison. I just obeyed Christ and just always believed. That's grace too. But as we follow Christ, as we follow God every day, the world is going to attack that. It's set up to distract you from following God. The question is, how do we continue? It's essential that we're in the Word every day as much as possible. Every day. Rooted, grounded, reading, even if you're not understanding. And being in community. And then remembering what the Bible says about God. He's revealing himself through the scriptures. And so my prayer is, as we come to Easter weekend in a couple weeks, we would really examine, where are we? God, what are you doing in my life? Do I need to change some things? Are you really at the center? Am I really following you? Because Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. The world's never going to tell you that. No, you're in the center of you. And so I want to pray and end this time, but I want to ask you a question. Have you ever asked Jesus into your life? Have you ever heard that when he was on the cross for you and for me and for every single human being that ever existed? Do you realize what sin is? And the beautiful thing is that God conquered death so that we could have life. I'll leave with this. Luke 1:37 that says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing. If you would have told me in 2008, I would be here in 2018, a minister, follower of Jesus, graduated Bible college, working at a church for 8 years, reconciled with my mom and dad, relationships restored, married, graduated college. No way, no way, ever. It wasn't even on the radar. I thought I was unredeemable. I thought, yeah, God, I hope you can change me, but I never believed it. Yeah, God, I want to be sober, but I didn't think it would happen. And so for you, what is God calling you to do? Because it's all about obedience. God calls us to obey him. Everything else is him. And so if you haven't made that decision and you want to just talk about it, or if you want prayer, I know Gabriel, Skylar, myself, Diane, we would love an opportunity just to talk with you. If there's something going on in your immediate family, anything, I pray that you wouldn't just leave here. I know we have work and all that. I want to be mindful. Maybe you've been praying something for so long, you just gave up. What if God answered that next prayer? Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you that there are really only two paths, one that leads to life, one that leads to death. And sometimes we get confused on what seems right to be right versus what is right. And so, God, I pray that you would minister to us, that you would speak to us. God, that you would reveal yourself to us. And that the routines of life wouldn't just put you on a pedestal, or just that we wouldn't just become familiar with you. Oh, Easter Sunday, oh, we celebrate this. But God, we would really just understand what you're calling us to do and what you have done for us. And that, God, what you did would motivate us to give our lives even more to you. God, that we would look at the workplace as an opportunity to share Jesus with those around us. Because your love changes everything. And so, God, we thank you for today. We know it's not just another day, that you have purpose and meaning in it. So help us to hear from you. God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So every step of the way, of course, I fasted. My wife couldn't fast. So as soon as we go to the med center downtown, it was 3 days from when we got the news to where we actually saw any kind of doctors. And the very first nurse that saw us was a member at Houston's First Baptist who I went to China with. And so I knew immediately, God said, "Do you trust me?" I went to the bathroom and I felt like God saying, in my heart, "Do you trust me?" I said yes, and as soon as I get out of the restroom, I meet the nurse, and she's a First Baptist member who I just went to China with. Then I go, and then my wife delivers the baby, and then our postpartum nurse is a nurse who's in our Bible study. So then we go to the NICU after my daughter had surgery, and there's a NICU nurse on the floor who was in our Bible study. And so God was in there the whole way. And so she had a surgery. They pushed everything down. They sewed her up, and then a month later, the stitches came undone. They had to cut her open, put a quarter-sized patch in her, and that's why her name is Grace. So if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them or anything.